on the evening of... Oh, it's a motorcycle. I thought it was the speakers. The evening of September the 30th, Prabhupada called all the senior men into his room. This was in Bombay. I had just arrived the same morning. By that time, I'd been made GBC in Australia. And Prabhupada had a standing request for all of his GBCs right from 1970 that each one of them come and spend 1 month a year with him as a secretary, traveling secretary. That was apart from his permanent secretary. So I'd just become a GBC earlier in the year after I left Prabhupada's service, personal service. And so I had booked in with Tamal Krishna Maharaj to be the visiting GBC secretary for October of 77. So I arrived on the last day of September in the morning. The same evening, that was when Prabhupada called everybody in his room and asked us, should I stay here in Bombay or should I go to Vrindavan? So when it was my turn to give a vote, I was not sure exactly what the criteria was for making the decision. So I asked Prabhupada, is it for health or is it for preaching? So Prabhupada said, it is for health. So then I was very clear that Vrindavan was the obvious choice. What was going on was that the Bombay temple was under construction. It had been scheduled to open towards the end of 1977. And so there was a hope that Prabhupada would be there for the opening of the Bombay temple. However, it was going slowly. And Prabhupada was sitting in his room all day, or lying in his room all day. And all the only noise was just the chip, chip, chip of the marble wallers and the construction crew. So it was becoming clear that the Bombay temple would not open on schedule, maybe a few months later. So then that question came up, should Prabhupada stay for a few months in Bombay and wait for the opening, or should he go back to Vrindavan? So when Prabhupada said it is for health, it was very clear that that meant Vrindavan. So we all voted. I think everybody except Gopal Krishna Maharaj voted for Vrindavan, because Gopal Krishna Maharaj was concerned that if Prabhupada left Bombay, then he knew that there would be an exodus of devotees that would go to Vrindavan with him. So he was worried that the construction then would slow down even more. But it was unavoidable. That's what happened. So the next day I was dispatched by Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come to Delhi and then to Vrindavan and prepare Prabhupada's rooms for his arrival. And it's been mentioned that in those days Prabhupada's bedroom was the room at the back, which also has a bathroom in it. That was going to be too small, and so we decided to convert his sitting room, the darshan room, into, you know, what would become his living room. So when I got to Delhi, then Bhagavad Ashraya Prabhu, he was the temple president at that time, I explained to him, Prabhupada will come as soon as we've prepared everything in Vrindavan, so we need a bed. So he had one friend of the temple, he had a wood shop. They used to make kind of modern furniture. We went straight around to see him, and we asked him, what beds do you have? Because I discussed with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we needed at least a double-sized bed so that the servants would have room to move around Srila Prabhupada whilst he was lying down. And he had one bed that he just finished. It was a double bed, and that's the one that's sitting there, which Prabhupada performed his final pastimes on. So we immediately dispatched that with a cotton mattress that we had made double thickness so that it would be more comfortable. And then I rang Tamal Krishna Maharaj that now we're ready, Prabhupada can come. So they had booked tickets already on the train that for that evening, October 1st. And then Prabhupada arrived in Mathura Railway Station on October the 2nd.
The reason that they booked the train for Srila Prabhupada is because basically at that time the road from Delhi to Vrindavan was primarily a dirt road, and there were so many big holes, and it would take so long for Prabhupada to get to Vrindavan, and it would be such an uncomfortable journey for him, that they simply took the train and they came to Mathura, and then they came to Vrindavan. And at that time I was a family man, and my wife, she was suffering from malaria. She had a room just above the entrance to the back gate entrance of the guest house. I'd finished the morning cooking and I went to check up on her to see how she was doing. And just the moment I came into the room, Srila Prabhupada's car arrived at the back gate. And to the best of my recollection, Brahmananda picked up Prabhupada in his arms, and he took Prabhupada from the car and he carried Prabhupada into his house. And when I looked down and I saw Srila Prabhupada, I noticed the remarkable difference in Prabhupada's health condition from when he'd left and now when he'd come back. When he had left, Prabhupada was still, he had that, a bit of that beautiful, golden, shiny effulgence. But his health condition had deteriorated so much that his complexion was considerably darker, and Prabhupada was really much more gaunt. They took Srila Prabhupada to his room and laid Srila Prabhupada on his bed that Harishori Prabhu had arranged. And when he laid on his bed, Prabhupada folded his hands and he chanted the prayers of King Kulashekar. And he said, Krishna Twadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam. He said, now, Krishna, let me die while I am in fit condition. And after that, he thanked all the devotees for bringing him back to Vrindavan. And it seems to me that he gave a lot of special thanks to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj for having brought him back. He said, only Tamal could have done this to get me back here alive. So basically, as Harishori Prabhu explained, that was 1st or 2nd October? 2nd of October. And at that time, something very, very amazing began in Vrindavan. And it was like, for those people from the West, all over the world, you go to the amusement park, and in the amusement park they always have one ride. When we were children, we called them roller coasters, but I don't know what they call them now, but it's the ride that just, it will take you very, very high to a peak, and then it will drop very fast, and it will go down, and then it will come back to a very high peak, and it will drop and it will go down again. And that was the emotional mood while Srila Prabhupada was spending his final days here in Vrindavan. It was one day soaring very, very high with the hope, yes, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our father, the person who means more to us than our very life, Srila Prabhupada will remain with us. And then in the next second, shoo, it was just as if Prabhupada were going to leave at any time. And there were many instances like that. And I could just try to recall a few of those instances. And since Hari Shori Prabhu is here, and since he was serving intimately, then Hari Shori Prabhu could help me, because we're old people now, and we have the tendency to forget things. One instance I was thinking of was the Makara Dwaj story. Makara Dwaj is a Ayurvedic medicine which is made from grinding pearls and burning gold and cooking it under the lunar cycles, and it takes a very, very long time to make Makara Dwaj, and it's extraordinarily expensive. Very, very expensive, but it's very, very powerful. And one day, Srila Prabhupada, I think he said, call Tamal Krishna. And so Tamal Krishna Maharaj came, and Srila Prabhupada said, I have had a dream. And in my dream, I saw one Kaviraj from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and he was preparing Makara Dwaj. And I am sure that this is a sign from Krishna that if I will get Makara Dwaj prepared by... If I get Makara Dwaj prepared by this Ramanuja Kaviraj, then my health will become restored and I will live for a very long time. So my goodness, you cannot imagine the situation after that. It was like every center in India, the word went out, do you have any members, life members, who were from the Ramanuja Sampradaya? Do you have any friends who are, you know, Ramanuja Kavirajas? The word was spreading all over the world. You know, we have to find a Ramanuja Kaviraj who is making Makara Dwaj to save the life of Srila Prabhupada. The devotees here in Vrindavan, they went down to old Vrindavan, and they went to Rangaji Temple, and they were looking to see if there were any Ramanuja Kavirajas in that area. And I can remember one night, they brought one like Sadhu Maharaj. He was a very skinny man. He had on like just a white Babaji cloth. He had like matted hair that was tied up. Said he was a Kaviraj, and he could prepare Makara Dwaj. And Srila Prabhupada said, and so, how much will one tola of Makara Dwaj cost? And this Kaviraj, he cited some very phenomenal price, maybe, you know, at that time, 2,000 rupees or 3,000 rupees or something like that. And somebody told me that Srila Prabhupada told him, he said, if I am paying you 3,000 rupees, you're going to make it just before my very eyes. So the search continued, and the search continued, but everybody was thinking, we just have to find this Makara Dwaj to save Srila Prabhupada. And everybody was just focused, you know, on trying to fulfill this desire of Srila Prabhupada. Finally, the word went to Adi Keshava Prabhu, who I think was our temple president in New York City, and he had a friend who was a friend of a very famous godman of India at that time, whose name was Chandraswami. And Chandraswami, he had a Ramanuja Kaviraj. And so they tracked down Chandraswami's Ramanuja Kaviraj, and he was saying, "I'm sorry, but I cannot communicate with you now. I'm very busy." And they said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm in the middle of making Makaradwaj." And this Makaradwaj, really, it has to, if you're doing it properly, it has to be prepared just according to lunar cycles and particular days and cooking at particular times. When the devotees heard this, Ramanuja Kaviraj was making Makaradwaj, they just became wildly ecstatic. And this Chandraswami, when he heard that Prabhupada needed Makaradwaj, Chandraswami, he kindly paid for 2 tola. Is that correct? He paid for 2 tola of Makaradwaj for Srila Prabhupada. Some very expensive stuff. And I can remember, maybe it was Shatadanya Prabhu or somebody finally arrived in Vrindavan with this Makaradwaj. And Srila Prabhupada, it was in the evening, and this Makaradwaj came in, and this medicine is so powerfully potent, you can take only just like the amount that would go on the end of a pin with milk. And so they took that amount and they mixed it with milk and they gave it to Srila Prabhupada, and everybody is like hanging on the edges of their seat. And as soon as this medicine went inside the mouth of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said, "I am feeling stronger already." Serious. But we can laugh, but you don't know, for us at that time, all of us who were dealing with the imminent departure of our spiritual master, just for Prabhupada to say that, what a great spirit of hope that gave us. Prabhupada said, "Yes, this medicine is saving me. I'm feeling stronger immediately." He said, "This will be my success." And he said, "Everybody can take rest." So we concluded the day, and that emotional roller coaster was just at the top. Then the next morning after Mangalartik, Srila Prabhupada said, "Call Tamal Krishna." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj came in, and Srila Prabhupada said, "I will no longer take Makaradwaj." He said, "Why, Srila Prabhupada? Why won't you take this medicine?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Because any energy that I have maintained within my body has been in the stools, that has been within my intestines. But when I took this medicine, it caused me to have a bowel movement, and therefore I will not take it anymore." And Prabhupada was like, he was the most impossible patient that you could ever deal with. Yet Prabhupada said no, there was no way of convincing him that he should do otherwise. So immediately the emotional roller coaster just, it went back down to the bottom again. Another day on the emotional roller coaster, Srila Prabhupada was feeling quite despondent because his health wasn't getting any better. And Srila Prabhupada had just really, really, really made all of us promise, "Never take me to the hospital. Never put pipes. Never put tubes. Never put any injections inside. I don't want any of this." Prabhupada is very, very stringent. Srila Prabhupada had heard how one of his godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, had passed away a few months earlier, and he had been in the hospital, and they had had so many tubes and pipes and so many different things. And Prabhupada said, "No, spare me the indignities of this. When it is time for me to give up my body, then just allow me to go. I do not want this. So, Prabhupada was despondent that he was becoming weaker. Less strength. And Prabhupada's calculation was this. If I don't have strength, and if I do not have shakti, then what is the point of my life? Because without strength and shakti, I cannot preach. Without preaching, my life is useless. I do not want to carry on under this condition. So I think I will have to have Harishwari Prabhu help me on this. But to the best of my recollection, Srila Prabhupada, essentially, his disease was caused by advanced diabetes that he never took care of, which eventually caused kidney failure. So he says that's a reasonable analysis. So Prabhupada's kidneys were going. And Prabhupada's Kaviraj, one good Kaviraj from Calcutta, Damodar Prasad Shastri, he had come here and he had Prabhupada on an amazingly strict regime that every millimeter of water that went inside of Srila Prabhupada, it had to be measured, and every millimeter of water that came out of Srila Prabhupada, that had to be measured also. And there was a log book, wasn't there? And Harishwari Prabhu and the others, they would keep log of the water that would go in and the water that would go out. And that water, that fluid was necessary to keep flushing the toxins out of Srila Prabhupada's kidneys. But Srila Prabhupada was feeling so despondent that Srila Prabhupada, one morning he looked up, he said, "Now, I will not drink any longer." And the devotees were in shock. And Srila Prabhupada said, "When my father became so infirm and sick in his old age, my father decided to end his life by not drinking." Prabhupada said, "The Ayurveda says that a man can live 40 days without food, a man can live 4 days without water, and a man can live 4 minutes without air." Prabhupada said, "I will not drink any longer." And he was adamant. And we were in shock. And naturally, there was the effort to convince Srila Prabhupada to drink. But Prabhupada was adamant, "I will not drink." And so we just sort of resigned to the fact that Prabhupada was not going to drink. And it was like, you can imagine, it was, again, it was the high point on the emotional roller coaster of love for our spiritual master. And again, to the bottom. And so Srila Prabhupada is very adamant and he stopped drinking. And the entire atmosphere became very morose. Because we knew that if Prabhupada did not drink and if he did not flush his kidneys, then the toxins would build. And eventually that would cause Prabhupada's body to simply cease to function in his departure from this world. Now just about that time, Kirtananda Swami Maharaj, he came from New Vrindavan. And Kirtananda was one of Srila Prabhupada's earliest disciples. And I happened to be sitting in the corner of the room when Kirtananda Swami came. Like I said, I was no one. But sometimes I would slip in, and I just because I wouldn't make any noise and I wouldn't do anything, I could just silently sit there and observe. They told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Kirtananda Swami has come. Prabhupada started crying. Prabhupada said, Kirtananda Swami, he helped me so much in the beginning of this movement. I think Kirtananda was sitting by Prabhupada's bed, Prabhupada stroking him on his head. He said, he helped me so much in the beginning of this movement. We had nothing in New York City. He would bring a carpet to put on the dais. He would bring a lamp. He would bring this. He would bring that. He would give donations. And Prabhupada was just remembering with love the service that had been done by Kirtananda Swami. So there was, you could definitely see that appreciation by Srila Prabhupada for Kirtananda Swami. So after a bit, the devotee is saying, but Prabhupada, please drink. And Prabhupada at one point, he said, no. He said, it is not in my hands. It is Krishna's decision. There is nothing I can do. So we were all very sullen. We were all brokenhearted. And then the next morning, Srila Prabhupada is laying on his bed. And this is after everybody has just been so devastated by the fact that Prabhupada won't drink. Next morning, Prabhupada is laying on his bed. And you have to understand at that time, Prabhupada's eyes were not functioning very well. And Srila Prabhupada said, so, is Kirtananda in the room? They said, yes, Prabhupada, he's sitting over by the wall. Then Prabhupada said something interesting. Prabhupada said, I was speaking to Krishna, and Krishna told me that the choice is mine. And as soon as Kirtananda heard that, and the other devotees heard that, their hearts jumped. The choice is mine. So they were thinking, somehow we have to convince Prabhupada. So I did my morning cooking seva, I did my lunch cooking, and then I went to my room in the Gurukula and I scrubbed my body. And then just when it was time for everybody to come to lunch, because at that time, you know, we all sat together, we all took prasadam together in the prasadam room, in the Gurukula. All of the great devotees, they all left. And just when they were leaving for the lunch, I walked into the room. And I think maybe only Srila Bhakti Chiru Swami Maharaj was in and out. And I was the only other person in the room. And I picked up the little cartels, and I just very softly started chanting for Prabhupada. And I can remember the melody. We were singing this melody that we had learned in Nabadweep in 76. We were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I was chanting very softly. And I was sitting just by the door because I was like too scared to come close to Srila Prabhupada. And I was sitting there and I was chanting. And then all of a sudden, the doors flew open. And it was like a scene from a movie when the police come in and they raid someplace and they all run in, and all of a sudden the room is filled with people, and it was all filled with the senior Vaishnavs. And they all went around Srila Prabhupada's bed, and they all had something to say to Srila Prabhupada. And they had deputed Kirtananda Swami to be the speaker. And basically they were going to tell Prabhupada that if it's his choice, he has to stay. And so everybody turned to Kirtananda because he was supposed to speak. And Kirtananda, he broke down and he started sobbing like a baby. You remember that? Were you there? And he was just... And everybody was staring at him. Do it! Do it! And finally Kirtananda just... You know, sometimes in your life you've cried and you've wanted to speak when you're crying, and it's so difficult to speak when you're crying. And finally Kirtananda just blurted out, Prabhupada! You, if it is your choice, you must stay! And then he basically just collapsed and was crying. And Prabhupada was laying on his bed very calmly. And Prabhupada said, is this your decision? And all the devotees said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, have you all discussed among one another? And they said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And at that moment, Brahmananda stepped up. And Brahmananda, in his very strong Brahmananda accent, he said, Srila Prabhupada, we have decided you must stay at least 10 more years. And Srila Prabhupada went, Prabhupada said, this is your decision? They said, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked up, he said, this is a decision which is based on your love for me. And then he was silent. And everybody was sort of like on the edge of the cliff of life to see how Prabhupada was going to respond, what he was going to say. And then Prabhupada was laying there, and finally Prabhupada went, all right. And everybody said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so, if I'm going to stay, then I have to start to drink. And they said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, what would you like to drink? And Srila Prabhupada looked up and he was thinking. He said, I would like to drink strawberry juice. Now, it would be more likely to get snow in hell than it would be to get strawberries in Vrindavan at that time. But Srila Prabhupada said, I wanted to drink strawberry juice. And then everybody's like, and Srila Prabhupada looked up. The next thing he said, what is the nutritional value of strawberries? What is the nutritional value of strawberry juice? It's just like, at one minute, Prabhupada is going to die. And the next minute, Srila Prabhupada is saying, what is the nutritional value of strawberry juice? And everybody starts looking at one another. What's the nutritional value of strawberry juice? What's the nutritional value of strawberry juice? What's the nutritional value? No one knew. And finally, all the eyes turned on Tejas Prabhu. And Tejas Prabhu had been a nutritionist or a dietitian with the United States Peace Corps. And since he was a dietitian, everybody figured that Tejas would know what is the nutritional value of strawberry juice. So they turned to Tejas. They said, Prabhupada, Tejas is here. He will tell you the nutritional value of strawberry juice. And immediately everybody was staring at Tejas. And anybody who knows Tejas, you know, Tejas is such a wonderful person. He's got this very pointed nose and he has these very penetrating black eyes. And all of a sudden he was like, you know. And Tejas was like trying to figure out the nutritional value of strawberry juice. And Tejas said, Yes. You know, Prabhupada said, no, Teja said, the nutritional value of strawberry juice is fructose. And Prabhupada said, yes, fructose. If I take fruit sugar, then I will get strength. And then there was a pause for a second. And Srila Prabhupada looked up. He said, Tejas, you're here? And he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And Tejas is such a devoted servant of Prabhupada. He'd been my temple president when I joined in Buffalo. And then he came over and he was the temple president in Delhi. And at that time, Prabhupada had sent him to Hyderabad. And Prabhupada had a beautiful farm down there. And Tejas was the temple president on the farm. So Srila Prabhupada said, Tejas, he said, Tejas, what? How is everything going on the farm in Hyderabad? And Tejas said, Srila Prabhupada, is going very nice. We just had our first harvest. Prabhupada said, really, what did you harvest? And he said, we harvested this and we harvested that. And we harvested corn. And Prabhupada, when he heard corn, this big smile came on his face. And he said, Tejas, do you know how to make makiki roti? Do you know how to make corn chapatis? He said, do you know how to make makiki roti? And Tejas said, no, Prabhupada. So here we have Prabhupada. 1 minute earlier, he's on the edge of death. And then the next minute, he's saying, well, you take your corn and you grind it in a particular way, and then you mix it with water, and then you boil some potato, and you mix a little potato in there, and then you can cook it just like a chapati. And Prabhupada said, it's especially good because you can put extra butter on it, and it becomes very tasty. So again, it was like, you know, the emotional love roller coaster was just at the bottom, and then it rose up again. And then Prabhupada said, now everybody can go. Go to RT. And so everyone was Jai Srila Prabhupada. And then I think I've really run over time. But I'll tell one story that I wasn't thinking to tell. But when I came in, my god sister, Moksha, she said, oh, I know the story you're going to tell. And I said, should I tell that? And she said, I love it, so I'll tell it. One day I finished my cooking service. And you have to understand that when Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON, in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada's doors were always open. Anyone could come in, and anyone. Okay, so I will try to be as quickly as possible, because I just got the message. In the beginning, the doors were open, and everybody could come inside and just talk and spend as much time as they wanted to with Srila Prabhupada. But when Srila Prabhupada became world acharya and traveling and translating so many books and opening centers and circling the globe so many times, Srila Prabhupada was on such a strict regimen and exact schedule. Probably Hari Shori Prabhu could speak for hours about Prabhupada's strictness in his regime. I mean, in Prabhupada, one time he came to Toronto in 1975, and he was giving a press conference at the Royal York Hotel. And there's a picture of that. Sometimes you see a picture of Prabhupada in this, well, you wouldn't know that it's the Royal York, but I know. And Prabhupada's head is completely covered with chandan, and I know that picture because I made the chandan. But Prabhupada, the reporter said, how can you do this? Being at such advanced age, how can you do this? And Prabhupada said, he said, I can do this because I'm so strict in my schedule, I'm so exact in my schedule, And any place I go in the world, I only eat Krishna prasadam. So,
I don't know how we got off on that.
But at any rate, I did my cooking seva. And I, oh yes, the doors were always open. And then Prabhupada was traveling. The doors, it was difficult to get in to see Srila Prabhupada because he was always so busy. But in the end, the doors were open again. And basically, anyone could go in at any time of the day or night and sit with Srila Prabhupada. And it was so wonderful. You could just go in and sit on the side of the wall. You could participate in kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada always, he liked to hear Das Avatar Stotram. He liked to hear Shad Goswami Astakam. And he liked to hear Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I can remember one time he was singing Das Avatar Stotram. Hansa Duda was singing. And he made a mistake in one of the lines. And Prabhupada just said, "You have done incorrectly." He loved hearing Das Avatar Stotram. Shad Goswami Astakam. So the doors were open. So I would finish my seva, and I would run over. And one afternoon when I ran over, instead of the doors being wide open, the doors were locked. Big padlock on the outside. And the first thing that came into my mind was, oh my God, the mean young sannyasis are in a bad mood again today. And when I looked up, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, he was outside and he was pacing back and forth. And Srila Prabhupada told us he was a Paramahansa. Prabhupada said there was only one thing that he was attached to, and that's the holy name of Lord Krishna. And he and Prabhupada, they loved one another very dearly. So since I knew who he was, I offered obeisances to him. And I took the dust from his lotus feet, and I folded my hands. And I said, "Maharaj, what do you want?" He said, "I want to see Prabhupada immediately." So I said, "Please wait." And I knew the guest house entrance into Prabhupada's garden and into his room. So I ran in that way, and I ran into Srila Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada's laying on his bed, and Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj is sitting on the bed next to Prabhupada. And I said, "Goswami Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj is outside. He wants to see Prabhupada immediately." Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked at Prabhupada, and he said, "Prabhupada, Babaji Maharaj is outside the room. He wants to see you immediately." Prabhupada looked up. He said, "Bring him immediately." So I ran outside, and I got Babaji Maharaj, and I brought him in, and it was so interesting. He just came in the room, and he was very spry. And he came sort of bouncing into the room, and by that time, Goswami Maharaj had gotten off the bed, and Babaji Maharaj just bounced up onto the bed right next to Srila Prabhupada, and they folded their hands, and they gave pranam to one another, and they were smiling at one another. And then I moved myself to just the other side of the headboard from Srila Prabhupada's head, because I was thinking, now I'm seeing two pure devotees of Lord Krishna together. I'm going to see how they exchange with one another. And I was waiting to see what the relationship would be. And what happened was this. Babaji Maharaj looked at Prabhupada, and he cracked a joke. And Prabhupada started... And then Prabhupada cracked a joke. And Babaji Maharaj started like... And then Babaji Maharaj cracked another joke, and Prabhupada was like, "Oh!" And then Prabhupada cracked a joke, and Babaji Maharaj was, "Ah." And then Babaji Maharaj cracked another joke, and Prabhupada went, "Hmm." And then Prabhupada sort of rose his hand and he said, Tadira charana seva bhakta sanivas janame janami hoy eyavilas. Which is the line from Narottam Das Thakur, in which Narottam says, my only abhilash, or the only desire that I harbor within my heart, is to just live with Vaishnavas, birth after birth, and engage in the service of their lotus feet. And I could see, that was like Prabhupada's mood. And then that sort of caught Babaji Maharaj a little bit off guard. And then Babaji Maharaj, about a second later, he cracked another joke. Prabhupada started chuckling. Prabhupada cracked a joke. Babaji Maharaj started joking. And then Babaji Maharaj cracked a joke, and Prabhupada went, Tadira charana seva bhakta sanivas janame janami hoy e avilas. And for me it was like, you know, the greatest of the advanced Vaishnavas, those Vaishnavas who can see Krishna, and one is just looking at the other, and he was saying, the only desire that I have is that birth after birth, I want to live with Vaishnavas and serve their lotus feet. And I was thinking, this is Srila Prabhupada. And I was thinking, Prabhupada just, he traveled the world. He served Vaishnavas. He was the greatest Paramahansa. He was the greatest exalted devotee in the history of Vaishnavism. But he was just the most perfect and humble servant of Vaishnavas. And he served in such a perfect way that all of us could come to Krishna consciousness. He made Vaishnavas. Prabhupada, he preached, he made Vaishnavas, and he served Vaishnavas. So many instances of Prabhupada teaching to cook, teaching to clean the floor, teaching how to write the checks, teaching how to do this, teaching how to do that, teaching how... Prabhupada, he just served and served and served and served and served. He was a perfect servant. And then Prabhupada, after that, he folded his hands, he looked at Babaji Maharaj, he said, could you please sing for me? And Babaji Maharaj said, Hare Krishna. And so he sang this one Nama Mahatmyam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Harinam Tua Anika Sarupa, sort of like a Vibhabari Sesha type bhajan. And he sang that. And then when he finished, he folded his hands and he said, may I leave? And Prabhupada said, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming here and being with me. Thank you for giving me your association. And then Babaji Maharaj jumped up and he just started bouncing out of the room. And Prabhupada looked at Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, be sure that he gets Mahaprasadam. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj turned to me and said, be sure that he gets Mahaprasadam. And so I ran out, and by that time, Babaji Maharaj was just around the guest house lobby. I said, Maharaj, please, you sit down. I'm going to get you Mahaprasadam. And I ran to the front of the temple room, the Mahaprasadam stone. I think Purnima Mataji was there. I saw Purnima Mataji the other day. Maybe Purnima Mataji is here. And she gave me two basin laddu, little tiny basin laddu with tulsi. And I took that from Purnima Mataji, and I ran back, and I gave it to Babaji Maharaj. And when he took it in his hand, he looked at me, and he said, you are so kind to me that you've given me Sri Krishna's Mahaprasadam. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. And it wasn't like a show. He was just so sincere. Thank you, you've given me Krishna's prasadam. And he said, may I go now? I said, yes, Maharaj. Then he got up to step, because I saw this loving exchange between Prabhupada and Babaji Maharaj. And then I did something as insignificant as giving the prasadam on Prabhupada's order to Babaji Maharaj, and I saw the way he responded to me. Then Babaji Maharaj was stepping out of the front gate of the guest house, and back then it was different. There was two doors, and there was like one door that had a step down, and he stepped out. He looked down on the steps, and there was somebody sitting there. And he looked down, and it was Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. And Pishima was another pure devotee. And she was like Prabhupada's face with long gray hair, wearing a white sari. And she looked up and she saw Babaji Maharaj, and Babaji Maharaj looked down and saw her, and these big smiles came on their face. It was like just transcendental love. Nothing to do with men, women, this, that. It was just the radiance of love, Vaishnav love. And so when she saw him, she started saying, oh. And Pishima was completely bent over from her waist. She's one of these old Matajis, completely bent down. She said, I am going to take dust from your lotus feet. He said, oh yes, please, take dust. So Pishima, she was slowly, slowly trying to get to Babaji Maharaj's feet. And just when she was going to put her fingers on his toes, he would scoot quickly 3 steps backwards. And he would start laughing and laughing. And she'd go, la, 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 la. And then he'd say, okay, okay. And she would go and she would just about have her fingers on his toes. And he'd scoot 3 steps back. And she'd, la, 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 la. And then finally he said, Tikache. And she came and she put her hands on Babaji Maharaj's feet. And Pishima was so, I mean, just like everything Prabhupada did was very artistic. It's the way it was with Pishima also. And she reached down and she was like very softly and affectionately touching Babaji Maharaj's feet. And she took off her glasses and she was like rubbing her eyes and rubbing her head and smelling the dust and tasting the dust. Then Babaji Maharaj said, I have prasadam. I have 2 laddus. Would you like prasadam? And she said, Maha prasad. And then he gave her a laddu. And then Pishima said, I have Ganga Jal. Because Pishima always carried a bottle of Ganga Jal. And one time I asked Pishima, I said, why do you always have this bottle of Ganga Jal? And she said, because I'm living in this filthy, contaminated woman's body. And every time I sit someplace, I contaminate it so badly that when I get up, I sprinkle Ganga Jal to purify it. Such nice consciousness. So she said, Ganga Jal? And he said, so these are some of the pastimes that I saw with Srila Prabhupada and his associates. Srila Prabhupada, he threw open the doors. And I'm convinced that Srila Prabhupada did the things that the way he did during his final pastimes just to turn up and to increase the intensity of our feelings of love for him. And I pray to the feet of all the Vaishnavas, and I pray to the feet of Srila Prabhupada that by his grace and by your grace, I will become fixed in the message that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And before I die, I'll be able to do something useful for the service of my divine master, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada ki. Tai Gopinandi.